Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Arcana Archives, a deep dive into nerddom. I'm Rogan McAndrews, and my modern gaming culture touchstone is still Leroy Jenkins. Passing it off to you, Chelsea.
And I'm Chelsea Finnegan, and my fun fact this week is that I have a cat named Thunder who is 14 years old. I named him Thunder because he's very loud and gray. And I wanted to mention this because sometimes you might be able to hear him screaming in the background of our episodes, despite the fact that I'm recording from a soundproof closet.
Well, today on Arcana Archives, we have not one, not two very special guests, but one squared special guests on this podcast. So Drew Brown and Dustin Frost.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So these two longtime best friends have spent their lives creating things together, including a prog rock band, Arcane Atlas, and their very own podcast, Prog Notes, where they delve into all things prog.
Oh, yeah.
But today we welcome them onto Arcana Archives to talk about their hilarious underground YouTube series called The Archetypes. Drew and Destin, welcome. Would you each care to introduce yourselves with a little fun fact?
Sure, I'll go first. Hi, everyone. I'm Drew. Fun fact about me, I guess, is that I'm double jointed. People like see my fingers and I'll point at something and be like, why are you doing that with your finger? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm just pointing.
I like, did no, that to why you are earlier you doing today. That?
And I have like this little bump. I have this little bump in there. It's because I have an extra joint. And so I can do it. And people are like, whoa. Some people really love it. They think it's really cool. And some people are like, that's disgusting and looks unnatural. Put that away. Put your hands away.
It's really good for bass playing, though.
Yes.
It does help with bass playing. Yeah. And my name is Dustin. And fun fact about myself is what, when I was 11 and 12 years old, I pitched in the Little League World Series.
Ooh. Really?
I did, yeah. Yeah, back in the day. I still have some of my trophies and statistics and stuff like that. That was a big part of my life before I started transitioning into music. More seriously is that I played baseball from 5 to like 20 and then coached and then wrote a book about it. I guess that's another fun fact. I guess that's a better fun fact is that I wrote a book on baseball. I need to redo it.
What's
though.
It called?
It's called The Game of Baseball. I'm dead serious because I couldn't think of any other better name. It was when I was like it was like when I was 19 years old or 18. I don't remember exactly when it was, but yeah, I need to. I want to go back and re-edit it. And because it's very stream of consciousness, it's got good stuff in it, in my opinion, but I need to go back and edit it. Anyway, I'm Destin. Thanks.
Wow, man, you guys have done so many different creative endeavors from like a podcast to writing a book to your band. That's crazy. Play baseball, pitching the little league. What? It's just.
I don't know, man.
Continually blown away by the amount of life you guys seem to have lived.
We're very old souls.
Okay, so.
I suppose.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so we wanted you guys on the podcast to talk about your YouTube series, The Archetypes. Archetypes. Why am I like this? Archetypes.
Why am I like this?
It's hilarious. I watched every episode twice and dragged my friends in to watch it. I don't understand why this show isn't famous. I guess there's like a ton of content that's very similar on YouTube and it's hard to break through, but for those of you who haven't seen it, the link is in our episode description. There's about 30 minutes of content. You should definitely go watch it before coming back to listen to this podcast because you're gonna need the context, and it's so funny. Like it's worth every second that you're gonna spend watching it. But for those who don't want to leave this podcast to go see it, would you guys be able to give us a brief outline of what it is?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, go for
it. Yeah. The Archetypes is about a group of adolescent boys, young adult slash early preteen boys. It spans from Alex, who's the youngest, who's like, I don't know, 12. Pedro, who I think we said was 26. Yeah, but there's five of them in total. It's these young boys who are playing video games, and they get the idea to try to do this competitively. They try to take it more seriously than they are themselves. And they get distracted all the time by mundane, stupid, idle conversation. It's very nothing humor, but they constantly get distracted and can't actually achieve the goal of becoming like a serious esports gamer or anything. And so that's the basic idea.
Part of the joke though with it though is that these characters, that's kind of the plot of it, but these characters are the typical archetypical gamers that you would approach or find on the internet and find on Xbox or PSN, PlayStation Network, or all of those back in the day when you had the party chat and you would join in with your friends and you'd create these little clans, which was a very big, it was a part of our lives in a way where we would do stuff like that, have those, create those clans and get people together and go off and play Call of Duty online or whatever it was, because as you're a team. And so that was the kind of the basis, was using these archetypical characters in this plot line of trying to be a good gaming clan. And they never put in enough effort because, like Drew said, they always just get distracted and it turns into idle conversation. So
my brother did competitive esports growing up, and I would hear him upstairs, and I think that you really, really captured the essence of listening to somebody to competitive esports but get distracted easily.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, it's hilarious. That's one of the things I love about it, is Drew mentioned it, is that it's the nothing humor, which is very much us anyway. We're both big Seinfeld fans, and we both like really dry humor and just wacky kind of absurd humor, like Kroll Show and just weird sketch shows and stuff like that. And so that definitely played into the part of creating the scripts and the characters and all of that.
Yeah, that was one of my questions, was how did you come up with this concept? Like what inspired it?
It was a college assignment for me. For one of my classes, we had to create some type of project, and this was part of my capstone class. And it was like, oh, what's something that you're working on right now, like film wise? And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have anything. And so many people like brought in scripts they were working on, full on feature length scripts, or like they had proof of concept sort of things where, they had some actual footage. It could be anything, but it was something that you did have to put some time and effort into. I was like, I have no idea. I have nothing. I have nothing. I have nothing right now. I'm drawing a total blank. And then I was like, this is not going to go over well. But I mean, especially when you're in film school, I think it's this idea that you have to be like really dark and serious. And like, you're exposed to all of this world cinema and a lot of cinema that is, well, cinema, quote unquote, cinema is an event, right? And you're surrounded by a lot of pretentious, fellow students and sometimes even professors and everything. And so I was like, I'm just going to do something goofy because this is an idea I have. And Destin and I had talked about, we had made a list of the archetypical gamers. One day we were just really dumb. Yep. We were super bored. And
might have been playing online together. We might have been playing like Destiny or something online.
And yeah, we might have been. And we were like, what are some of the archetypical, like we were just making jokes and goofing around. We were like the guy who's like always makes excuses. Like, I'm behind a wall, but okay, I guess a bullet can go through there. Cool, yep. Bungie. You're amazing. Fix your game. And that kind of stuff. And it's like, this is a fun idea. And we started to get going a little bit more with like, okay, who are these actual characters and everything? And I did it. I put out the first episode, and the class critiques it. You don't just make the project and turn it into your professor. Like, they all critique it.
What did they
say? That was part of the class. Like, everyone has like input into like, and it went over surprisingly well. I was very, very pleasantly surprised. A lot of people were like, oh no, this is great. This is hilarious. This is a good idea. You should definitely keep doing it. And that actually gave me the encouragement to do more. It might have stopped after that. I'm not even kidding. It might have stopped if like people had said, this isn't good, scrap it. Mm-hmm. People liked it, and then that gave me a little bit more encouragement, and I started to be drawn more to the characters we had already created. And my classmates actually had some really good input. You'll notice in the first episode, my voice for Darren is not what Darren's voice is in the second and then the future episodes, because they were like, Yeah, Darren and Garrett sound the same, right? And I was like, I guess Destin and I sound pretty similar. And so I changed it to like have kind of this weird like nasally thing, and he kind of has this weird emphasis on things, and that's Darren. He's just kind of this weird dude.
Oh, well, you can just jump into the voice.
Just kind of slurs his words.
Like, so is it just the two of you guys for the all the voices then?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do the
voice.
Did we
have anyone come in as a guest?
We did have Hannah, my wife, come in for a character
very
of
background.
Like a girlfriend of Darren.
It was Darren in the first episode. And that was it, I think. That was it. And then the rest so far has been us. I think we've talked about putting in like for future episodes, like, you know, friends of ours who we know have done performance before.
Yeah. Well,
like,
we had Jeanette
come in as guest.
Or Jeanette.
Yeah.
Forgot about Jeanette, you know, which is a future episode. And So some of them, but yes, to answer the question though, that it is just us. I play, or I am the voice for Garrett, Alex, and Cletus. And Drew does the voices for Darren and Pedro.
Pedro and Everett.
And Everett. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about,
Don't forget about Everett. Yeah. He would be super pissed off.
Yeah, he would be.
He'd be so angry if you excluded him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of all those character names, this is actually the perfect segue, because I want to know about how you came up with each individual character. And my list starts with Garrett, I guess, because your little introductions start with Garrett. Yeah. So.
Okay. So Garrett is like the, you know, he's the quote unquote leader of the archetypes. At least he tries to be the leader of the archetypes.
He introduces himself.
Of course. Yeah. He's hi, I'm Garrett. I'm the leader of the archetypes.
He's very
upfront. He's the typical kind of guy who is the typical type of gamer that he is that guy who's just so into it and overly into it, where he gets mad and angry at other people that he's playing with. And so
he's
overconfident as well. So it's like, he's not that great, but he also wants everybody else to do well. And that's so relatable, because these people, remember back in the day before you could just jump into PSN chat, you had to jump into the game chat with people. And that was so typical. It's like the guy who's like, hey guy, can we pick up the slack please? Like that guy who's just, you know, always trying to get people to do better, but not offering anything in substance. And so
Garrett was based on a guy that we had gamed with.
Yep.
Particularly in Destiny.
Yep.
And now he's an exaggeration. Like, Garrett is an exaggeration.
He's
a caricature of some of this. But there was a guy that we knew that was very much like, all right, tighten up, boys. Not even kidding. He would use that phrase, tighten up. Like, let's do this. And
serious.
Oh, no. And he was all about the strategizing. And in fairness, when you are playing like these really, really kind of intense, you know, with Destiny and some of the raids that are difficult, like, you have to coordinate. You have to have like, make sure everyone's on this zone here, or this person's here and using this ability and this subclass, you know, these games that are designed to encourage that kind of
strategic
coordination and communication and like Destin just said, strategy. It was just funny, cause I was like, it's so funny. I'm very much a casual gamer. So to hear someone like using stuff like that, or like you had mentioned in the beginning, Leroy Jenkins, right? Where it's this like, I'm going to go in and use intimidating shout. And like, you know, you got to use these certain abilities at this specific time to do all of this. But to hear someone like talk about it when it's supposed to be something for entertainment, to use kind of this like militaristic tone, it's so funny to me. It was so funny. And I was like, Garrett's that kind of guy. He's this archetypical.
Yeah. Gotta do this. Tighten up.
So that's kind of based off its character. So the name of that reflects that type of attitude, because Garrett to us kind of sounds like this just typical like hockey player kind of douchebag. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, what's up? I'm Garrett. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's that kind of voice. So that was the name. That was the reason why we chose that name, I suppose, was just because it kind of reflects the character of him.
I totally see that. All right. Yep. And then next up, you had Darren.
Yep. So Darren.
Darren was supposed to be, and still is, his yes man. Was Garrett's yes man.
Yeah.
He was this, they're friends who have known each other forever.
Yep.
And Darren has his own sense of self. He's not like a total like slave to him or anything, but he is very much his yes man.
A follower.
And always wants to support him. And so Garrett is going in with the assault rifle, gung-ho, and Darren is there with the shotgun to pick off people on the side to get too close to his buddy Garrett. And so that's Darren.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's a counterpart to him because Garrett gets to use the power that he wants to use, which is to basically boss people around. And he knows that he can boss Darren around, but Darren's okay with it because he's laid back. He's chill about it, and he just wants to support his friend, and so he's a little bit more on like the introverted side.
I think Darren's the most normal out of maybe Alex is super innocent. Yeah, Darren personality wise is
the most normal.
I think he's the most normal.
You can't be normal if you're 12. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Alex is I mean, he's normal. He doesn't do anything weird, but he's so innocent. He is so innocent. Like the sense of relatability with Alex is kind of. There's a bit of a distance there. Darren is just like this laid back dude. And Alex is just really sweet and innocent. And like, guys, let's just have fun and play a game.
Yep. What's funny too is that like Darren is also the guy that kind of gets everybody off track sometimes. Like he's kind of the one that asks like random questions, or he'll bring up random things that it's like, dude, that's not a problem. Like that's not an issue here.
Yeah. Or zebra striped gum. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah. Or, that's also the other thing. It's just the random millennial
right in the middle.
Yeah.
It's a lot of millennial humor and references.
Millennial reference humor and like the Surge soda, like the,
we're talking about
stacks.
Lunchables, cup stacking. what was the baby bottle pop? We
baby
put in there
pops.
Too.
Yeah. Like
babies
random
are us.
The food references.
The food references are way too much.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's Darren.
It's a real trip down memory lane.
I want to jump in quickly here and like, where did the cup stacking come from? Because
that's
so insane that like for being a nervous tick just to bring out the cup.
I own speed stacks. I like frequently speed stack.
I think that was my idea because Destin, I don't know if you had to do it because you might have been playing sports, so you might have not had to take gym. I don't know. Back in middle school, or was it high school? Or was it freshman year? I don't know.
I don't think it
somewhere
was high school.
In our education. I'm not even kidding. They, for phys ed, for a whole like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they taught us cup stacking. I thought
that was hysterical.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny. And I was like, after high school, are you ever going to encounter this sport again? No. You're never going to hear about this hardly ever again unless you're like in that world, unless you do cup stacking like you, Chelsea. Like hardly anyone knows what this is. And I was like, that's such an obscure thing that maybe a couple people know about to where it'd be like, where did that come from? I thought that was hysterical. And so I just threw that in there. I was like, cup stacking. And the fact that Darren does that when he's nervous is just so funny to me. And so that just came to me. I was like, cup stacking. Yeah, he'll do that when
so
he's like,
funny.
What do I do with my hands? What do I do with my hands? I'll cup stack.
And it's so loud too, like, that's what you choose to do. Also, just to clarify, I'm not very good at speed stacking. I just have them for fun as a sports thing to do.
I was so bad at it. I was unbelievably horrible with it. So
yeah ridiculous. But anyway,
okay, so the next character on our list is Alex, and he's 12.
Yeah, so Alex's relationship to the group is hilarious, in my opinion. But Alex is Darren's younger brother. And so they are, and Darren is pretty, a little protective of Alex. But the reason why he includes him and wants to include him is because Alex is this, I don't know if anybody else has really encountered this, but like people, these kids that are just really, really darn good. Like these really good kids who are good at the game, but maybe they're along the lines of maybe a little, you know, immature, or they, you know, they just don't have the social skill, or they're just like, they know that they're the youngest one there, so they just don't feel like talking, and they're just there to play. They're just there to play the game and do their thing. And then in the context of everybody else, like wanting to be really, really good and blah, blah, blah. And so, the relationship between Darren and Alex is hilarious because, you know, they have this whole thing with their mom and this whole deal with their stepdad and all of this stuff.
They had a traumatic upbringing, and you get little bits and pieces. It's like, that is a screwed up household. How are they this well adjusted?
Yep. And so Alex is still at home, but Darren and Garrett are both 20. So they're college age. So they're gone. They don't really get to see each other. So it's kind of that, it's once again, another one of those things that we really relate with, which is gaming with the community of friends that you had that you used to either live with or go to school with or whatever. And we used to do that all the time with guys who, you know, we had a buddy of ours that went up to, Purdue. He went to Purdue. And so, and Drew was in for a while in like Western Kentucky and stuff like that. So like we were all over the country and that was one of the things that we could get to come back and like play together. So that was like one of the little hints of sort of nostalgia there. But Alex's character, yeah, he's just this innocent kid who is really, really good at the game.
He's hands down the best player in the clan.
He's hands down the best player.
Hands down.
We just love that his little...
I think his innocence is so funny to me.
Yeah, in an area that is so that's supposed to be so serious, he's literally the exact opposite of Garrett. He's the exact opposite of Garrett's personality. He's just kind of chill.
Yes.
You know, has to go to soccer practice after this game.
Yeah, he has like a life outside of the game. And that's what's so funny is that like all of these other guys are practicing so hard and they're okay. They're pretty solid. But Alex, who has other obligations,
he's a good student. Geography test tomorrow.
Yeah, I have a geometry quiz tomorrow and everything. And he takes the time to study. Like he cares about this. He's a responsible person. He's probably the most mature person in the group and he's 12.
Yes.
He's responsible and he has a life outside of this. He has a balanced life. But he still kicks ass at the game, which I think is hysterical.
I find it pretty hilarious how Darren and Alex are both like sort of more of the laid back people, but they're like opposite ends of that, where like Darren's just kind of whatever goes, and then like, Alex is just more like soft spoken.
Yeah.
Or, like, the mom thing is the huge, like the whole conversation about having the hot mom, and where like Alex is like, hey, you can't talk about my mom like that. And, and Darren's just like, well, I guess she's kind of hot.
No, that's so dumb. I freaking love the way you delivered Destin. The Darren, how can you talk about our mom like
Darren,
that?
You can't talk about our mom like that.
He doesn't even say anything like too horrible. He's just like, it's very laid back. He's just like, oh, she's kind of hot. And it's like, first off, that's messed up. But he's so laid back about it. And just Alex is, Darren, this little 12-year-old kid. Why are you talking about our mom like that?
Yeah,
it really highlights his innocence.
It does. Yeah, it really, ridiculous. Really does.
So yeah, so that's Alex's character and the name for Alex. I don't know exactly why we use that name, other than the fact that I just think it came off as more of that, just Alex, just sort of innocent guy.
It just sounded
just kind of in this area. You know, it's really it's nothing, guys. It's just a game. Like it's just you know, he's just that kind of like innocent kid. So yeah, that's Alex's character.
And then next up is probably one of my favorites, Pedro.
Pedro. I mean, you know, and that's one that I always have to be careful about because I don't want to be insensitive because I'm doing a Hispanic accent and I'm so bad at it. But I think that makes it a little like just knowing that, like, I know that. I mean, you know, it's the way he came to be was I was like, I want a sniper on the group. And I just thought it was funny. You never, ever hear about. Whenever you think of like the typical military, like excellent sniper, you're usually thinking of like, you know, Navy SEALs, right? America. Sometimes you hear in a lot of these war films, you see British person or a Russian, right? You see some of these big superpowers in the world of, you know, geopolitics, right? These huge nations that have built empires and conquered lots of territories. They're the ones who have these really elite teams of snipers. I was like, never, ever hear of that from Mexico. Ever.
Yeah.
And that's not to like criticize them or anything. I never see that. And I thought kind of bringing that together would be kind of funny. And what's funny about it is that he's actually really good. Pedro's probably the second best on the team as far as kills. He's supposed to be a really good sniper. And I thought the idea of someone being like a Mexican sniper, I don't know. That just, I never think of that.
Yeah.
I think that that's kind of funny. I never associate those two things. So I thought that that was kind of funny. And I also love that he's also very soft spoken. And I also wanted someone on there who was the archetypical gamer who is always high, who is always like munching on something or, well, Darren's the one who eats the most, but who's always like, just, hey man, like, I don't even care, man, you know? And like, doesn't care. And he's like very soft-spoken. He kind of has like these like, you know, like gravelly voice. It's kind of rough. He doesn't care. And he's, I just love how chill he is and how weird he is. Like you get these little small moments and windows into his past life, but you don't fully know his story because he doesn't one speak that much. And when he does too, it's nothing normal. It's like, I got a cookie cake guy What does that mean? The guy who works at like a bakery. You could have just said that more normal. Like you could have just said, hey, I got a friend who like works at like a bakery. He could probably hook you up with a cookie cake as like something to give to your mom. Like, what?
You got instead a cookie he says, cake guy? I have a cookie cake guy.
And he eats cough drops as candy, which by the way, I wrote as purely just an absurd joke. I was like, it's funny if someone, and it would be Pedro because he's just kind of weird and off the wall. And he has these small little interjections that are just kind of bizarre. I purely wrote that just because that seems like something Pedro would say. I had like multiple people come up to me. I'm not kidding. Totally different people from different areas of my life be like, oh, that's funny. You did the whole thing with like Hispanics loving like cough drops. I'm like, what do you, what? That is not a what? Thing. That's not a stereotype. What? Like, what is this? And they're just like, no, no, no. Like I had a friend who was like my boyfriend. He's Hispanic. And like, he will constantly just chew on cough drops or suck on cough drops, even when he's not sick. And I had someone else tell me that they, no, I had someone else tell me, they said, oh yeah, I've got a friend, they're Latino as well. And they eat cough drops all the time.
I like, did not just, know that just, was a thing.
No, I don't know if it is, but these two, probably isn't, but these two people from totally different areas of my life coincidentally were just kind of like, oh, I know someone who's Hispanic and that's a thing they do. And I was like, that's hysterical to me because that was not something I knew going in. It was just something.
No.
I don't want anyone listening to this and taking away that that's like a thing because it very well might not be. But it was just funny because two totally different people from different areas of my life said like they saw the episode and they were like, oh, yeah. Anyways, Pedro's a weird dude and I love him for that.
Pedro's definitely my favorite. I love him for that. Awesome. He's really well done. Next on our list is Everett. I love that Everett's just whispering the entire time while he's fighting with his dad.
It subverts your expectations for like the angry gamer.
I think that was it. We wanted the rager and we were like, that one has to be as a core member of the group, someone who rage quits or just gets super angry over everything. Everything is, this sucks. You know, those people who are just like, God, this game sucks. Like whenever they're doing poorly, this game sucks. And I think part of it was, yes, like you just said, kind of subvert the expectation that they're going to be super loud and like blow out the mic or anything. Have them whisper. I thought that was hysterical. I think honestly, part of it also came out of like, I don't even know another voice that I could really do. And it just hit me. I was like, a whisper of someone's voice is pretty different from their actual speaking voice. That's different enough. So I think part of it was necessity for that. And another part of it was, yeah, this is hysterical. The fact that he's so angry, but the loudest he can get is probably like this. Like that's the loudest he could ever possibly get. He's still whispering, but he's still super pissed off. And you know, the plosives are super emphasized. His P's are really, really intense and all of that. And I love Everett. I mean, I hate him too. If I knew this kid in real life, I would absolutely hate this kid. But idea is so funny to me. And I love that his dad is like a security job and works weird hours. So that's why you can never like hear his voice.
At Toys R Us.
Security guy. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Security guard at like Toys R Us.
Toys R Us.
What? Like Toys R Us. Yeah, that he's a security guard at Toys R Us, and the fact that there are more Babies R Us stores than there are toys. In fact, is Toys R Us still around now? This is a couple years after.
That's the thing. That's the thing that makes it, once again, that millennial joke of going to Toys R Us when maybe you were younger, and they're not around anymore. And it kind of goes back to that. It's another callback to that sort of era.
Actually, I think we have a few Toys R Us. Do we have a Toys R Us still in Calgary?
There's still one kicking around in a mall.
Shoot, that's hysterical.
I love
that. I don't know like where they're getting getting their supply or whatever.
Yeah,
from,
where's the inventory sure coming from? Dead.
Yeah. Or like that's it got so bought funny. Out or something at a smaller scale.
Sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was that kind of millennial humor. It was just one of those things that I was like, I used to see those all the time growing up, and now they're not there. And then like the idea that there's one that's successful enough to hire a security guard. What? You're making enough to be able to hire a security guard
at nighttime security guard.
At night. And like someone is really itching to get those toys that they require a security guard.
Gotta get those holo foil Pokemon cards.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Gotta get those figurines of, I don't know, Kingdom Hearts or whatever. And like, oh man.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Oh. Yeah, he's just the typical he's the archetypical rager. That
rager,
everybody who's encountered,
he's got the really disciplinary father, son, get off. You know, in the first episode, you see his father is a little overbearing, but just has no patience.
Yep.
And that's where Everett gets his lack of patience.
Yep.
you know.
And yeah,
yeah, you can but really even, see even the family resemblance there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unreal. But like, even too, what I was going to say is, even when he's angry, or not angry, but even when he's like doing really well, he still sounds like he's angry. Like he's just perpetually angry all the time, which is just
well, he's yeah. overexcited. It switches from anger to overexcitement. Like, yeah, get some, you know, yeah. like
it's always, it's just, he's always over the top, which I love that. It's hilarious. Anyway,
never a chill moment with him.
Really well. And then yeah. last but not least is Cletus.
I
love Cletus'
character.
Where he agrees to manage the team and then he plays with them and doesn't know how to play.
Yeah. So Cletus yeah. is like a, you know, down oh, here my. Because we're both from I'm done with that, but we're both from we both grew up in Tennessee, and Tennessee is in the southern part of the United States. And so there is a, you know, Cletus is a very overly every single one of them are exaggerated, but you know, he's overly exaggerated with this country accent type of guy. And there's also like an extremely almost kind of stereotype that these like really out there country guys are rich. Like they just all have a bunch mm-hmm. of money in a way. Either they're like a farmer, they own a bunch of I own land. You know, that joke is where that kind of comes from.
Yes.
Is that yeah. it was just like sort
no
of
one
like
really knows exactly
no one
how
really knows.
Has his fortune.
Yeah. Like, and you really don't know that because it's always so weird. It's not like they're a big business owner. They own something. It's like, it's this weird obscure thing where they
yeah,
have
that,
cows
that is,
or something.
That's so true. Like my mom has this story because she did like horse racing and barrel racing, like all throughout the US when
oh,
she was
wow.
younger. And like wow. I think her uncle or her manager or something, like it would always say, like when you get into the southern states, you look for the guys who are like all the best well-dressed and they're the poorest and they're just looking to show off. And then you look for the guy who's like wearing like ripped shorts and like
yep.
a tank top and a cowboy hat and riding a tractor down the road. And he's probably yep. a millionaire.
Yep. No, it's 100% true. Like it really is. I mean, not 100% of the time, but that's totally plausible. It happens all the time. And so, yeah, Cletus's character is this, is the stereotype, the archetypical noob, but we didn't want him just to be a noob that was annoying. We actually wanted him to have a purpose in the story. And so it just worked perfectly that the fact that this guy who has a ton of money found like funds
knows nothing
this
about
clan.
Gaming. He knows nothing,
nothing.
About
nothing.
Gaming.
Yeah, nothing about
Craigslist.
It.
I love that he has a purpose though. Otherwise he would have been so annoying.
Yeah. It's just like, it's just what is he, but like, I think the way that we tie him into the story, and I love the fact that like they need him, but they hate him, and they need him, but he sucks, but they need him. It's this idea of like,
yeah.
it's this, yeah, this horrible situation for all of them, especially Garrett, because Garrett's the one that wants to like really push the thing forward. And so we yeah. just love the idea of the, like, especially the way that Drew writes the characters, for them to always have these personality traits, but also interests and desires that clash 100%, like all the time. Like the desire of Cletus or the skill level of Cletus clashes with Garrett's need for success.
Mm-hmm.
And Darren's personality, you know, clashes with, or not Darren's personality, but like Everett's personality clashes with Garrett's personality a lot of the time. It's always Garrett and Everett getting into it. About like, dude, just calm down. Shut up, dude. Like, come on, get
yeah,
it together.
They're both
kind of
very
thing.
Vocal.
They're both very vocal. And then yeah. you have these other laid back guys, which I find to be totally relatable in the sense of like those casual gamers where you're just there playing the game and
just
everyone around you is just
ride.
Screaming.
Yeah.
That's
it's
what
like,
I relate to
yeah,
a whole lot of the
it's
time.
that side of it. So like a lot of people relate to that Alex character. It's just like, I'm good at the game. I just want to play the game with my friends and everybody around me is just screaming and yelling. And it's just this just right. mass chaos. And so, yeah, Cletus's character is amazing because of that. And like his backstory is just kind of strange and weird with, you know, we don't really know how he has this money. Yeah. We know he has money. We know that he's funding it. But why did he find him on Craigslist? That's the funniest
why
thing.
Why are you on Craigslist for this? Why? Like,
why did you find him on Craigslist?
Put that out on Craigslist. I
yeah,
love Craigslist.
It's ridiculous. And so he's just kind of out there. But he's that archetypical noob that, you know, just wants to play the game and kind of wants to not really screw things up, but understands like that you guys need another player. You guys need discipline with this in a way, but yeah, he's just kind of out there. And, mm-hmm. we kind of like flaunt his money in certain ways. Like he's out on a boat.
Yeah.
And he's connected.
Oh, I can't wait till we write that.
You know,
I mean, I have the idea in my head and that's just going to be so dumb. It's just you just hear funny. This quote in the background.
Yeah. You just hear him like on a boat, but he has Wi-Fi to be able
yeah,
to play.
Yeah, he has Wi-Fi out on the waters.
Like enough to be able to play.
Oh, enough yeah. to be able to play and to like yeah. talk and all this stuff. Oh my God. It's not cell service. It's like, no. It's Wi-Fi. It's actual internet. Like, where are they laying the cables? What are you talking about? How is that possible? Oh, yep. Yo, yeah. If you have enough money, you can do anything.
Yeah. So it's just this.
Stuff they don't tell. Yeah.
He's hilarious, man. And so, and he's, you know, he's super out there with like his voice and everything's kind of up here. And then he comes down or everything. It's, so it's just this. It's hilarious. And
you
I love.
Find somebody quick.
Yeah. You better you find somebody quick. So
you guys did a really good job with the chemistry and dynamics between all of the characters.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
I can't, thank you.
I cannot wait for the next episode. Speaking of which, you're writing another episode.
While we're on this, I just want to very quickly ask what character do you guys most relate to on a gaming level?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
I probably... Here's what's interesting. I'm extremely competitive in like everything. And so, but I don't know, I guess my competitiveness never really spilled into the gaming community when I played because I'm also more of the realist. So I just kind of knew that I wasn't never that good kind of guy. You know, I was the guy in COD who had like the 1.8 KD. Like that, I was like, that's not horrible. It's kind of average, you know? And like, that was just sort of, so I would probably relate probably to Darren the most. Cause I feel like Darren's probably the most grounded, but also can take rabbit holes or can rabbit trail on just random topics and subjects and stuff like that, which is very much Drew and I in a way. And so, yeah, I would say Darren probably for me.
You know, I hate to admit it. I really hate to admit it, but I think I probably relate most to when I get angry, I'm like Everett. I get pissed. Like it depends. It really depends. Most of the time I can be chill, but like I'm telling you, man, when you play with what's the new term that I recently come of age, sweats. People who like do nothing like these. I used to call them no lifers. And I guess the internet changed the terminology to sweats. People who are just so sweaty because that's all they do.
It's news to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's what my friend says now when I game with him. But, when I get angry, man, there have been some nights where I have been super pissed playing either Destiny or way back in the day, I was playing Call of Duty and everything. There's like no lifers who would just like dominate the match. I'm like, this isn't even fun because the servers don't know how to match make. Put me up with someone against my own skill level. I'm not going to play against no lifers. I have a life. But now that I'm getting like dominated, this is killing me. This isn't even fun. I get spawn killed
it's
all the time.
It's not fun anymore.
It's not fun anymore. I'm just getting spawn killed.
I want to get off Mr. Bones' wild ride.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think honestly, when I'm really in the zone and really competitive, I'm probably like Everett more than I care to admit. And I start complaining and I get angry. But
what about you, Chelsea?
I don't know. I say probably Darren, you know, just like the going off on tangents and distracting everybody who's trying to play games with me. I'm like that person who's like, everybody's sitting down and they're ready to play games, ready to press start. And I'm like, where do zebra stripes come from?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that was actually kind of something that we wanted to incorporate. And Dustin touched on this a little bit earlier. Is really kind of honing in on the sense of this whole thing is like gaming is bringing these guys together. They would not be friends if it weren't for this game. And yet we as the audience and they are as the characters are learning about each other and we're learning about these characters and their actual lives outside of gaming, but because the game is bringing them together, because they're here to play a game. But they're getting distracted by talking about like baby bottle pops and Babies Are Us and... you know, bagel bites and cooking.
Like they have real chemistry and a real friendship. Mm-hmm.
They have an actual friendship, right? Because they're getting distracted talking about all this other stuff, but it wouldn't be there if there wasn't the excuse for the game. And I kind of wanted to kind of have that point of sentimentality in there that like gaming was an important thing for me growing up. You know, my friends and I, even before online gaming made it that much more important, but starting out, just going over to a friend's house and playing, you know, know, Street Fighter or whatever. Yeah, Nintendo or whatever. Pick your favorite. Even these single player games, right? And just trading out the controller. Like, okay, you died or you finished this level. Now it's my turn. And really bonding over that experience. And, you know, online gaming brought that to a whole other level when you could just do it anywhere, right? And still be able to talk with these people and relate to them. And so that was part of it as well. And anyways, just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah. I think I'm probably all of the worst parts of between Alex and Cletus.
Whoa! That is a bizarre combination.
Yeah.
Well, like, Alex on the one end is like just in there for fun. And like he doesn't really care what else is going on. But I am also like by far probably the worst gamer. Like just in terms of the skill level. So that's where the Cletus comes in. I think like my average completion rate of like one game of Dark, like a Soulsborne game is like 3 years. So
no,
and
I
then like
that.
Anytime like playing a competitive game like Smash Bros or anything, I'm always the one on the couch just like cracking jokes and always playing the meme characters, and I don't really care if I like get slammed off the map or something.
That's
funny.
That's hilarious.
So many self-deaths.
Many self-destructs, so many SDs.
All right, so last question for you guys, I guess, which is you're mentioning writing another episode. And when is it coming out, and how are you writing it?
I don't want to give too much away, but this will be kind of an Everett-heavy episode, and I'm actually really excited about it. There's going to be a lot of other people's moments, but we're writing another episode. We started recording it, and with our podcast going on and everything, it has become difficult, and, you know, maintaining adult lives and just all of that, all the responsibilities and different facets of our lives that we're trying to juggle and everything. I did talk with Dustin the other day about wanting to get back on it and everything, but the next episode is more Everett heavy, and they're auditioning new gamers, because the last episode, cliffhanger of Cletus being like, well, you got to find a sixth player, and it can't be me because I know I suck, and if you guys want to get anywhere, you got to find someone. So the next kind of arc of the story is them trying to find different players, different candidates to fill that sixth position.
Yep.
I can't wait.
The end of the season is supposed to be them ramping up and actually playing in the tournament. And then that's where they'll meet an interesting group of people that we have a lot of plans to do with as well.
Russell,
you know what I'm talking about, Dustin?
More archetypical gamers.
Gamers. But
that we're coming across of.
Anti-archetypes.
Yep.
Completely forgot. What's the guy's name who like kept jumping into the
Corey? We've got plans for Corey. He'll come back. He'll be a recurring character.
Oh God!
Don't worry, Corey's gonna find his way back to the archetypes every now and then.
The distortion.
It's
What do you guys need my help or something?
Yep. It's that guy. It's once again that guy who has the archetypical gamer has the really bad microphone. You can't understand anything that he's saying, but also those people who kind of jump into, they party jump. And that used to be a thing, you know, back in before the party chat, not party chat, but before the system chats were a thing, you could open, because all the parties were open. And so you can go into the list of recently, you know, played against players, and you can jump into parties. And it happened to me several times. I remember times where just randos is what we call them. Right, the randos that would jump into our clan and our team.
Yeah.
And sometimes they had mics, sometimes they didn't. But I remember doing that in like zombies, Call of Duty zombies all the time. It's like
zombies.
We got the random fourth rando. We got the fourth rando. And you know, it was always the fourth rando's fault every single time. It doesn't matter. Like it was always the fourth rando's fault. But that was Corey is definitely that guy. He's that guy. He's the party jumper.
So
and everything.
Annoying.
But yeah. But last thing I wanted to mention though with the story, we've been talking a lot about the characters, and yes, it's a character driven type of show, and but it isn't, it is episodic, and in the sense of that there is a plot, there is a storyline that is happening, and that is continuing through. So it is a lot of nothing humor, but the story does sort of progress in a way to where they have a goal set in mind and something that they want to achieve. And of course,
and I'm so invested in the story. I can't wait for the dedication.
It's hilarious.
I'm like actually on this cliffhanger. Like, when is the next episode coming out? Please.
Yeah,
I know it's been a long time. Insane.
But anyway, so yeah, I just wanted to mention that. I wanted to mention that because it is, yeah, it is very character driven. But there is a plot and a story that we're following with these characters, even though they divert all the time. You know, that's why Garrett's there to bring them back into the guys, let's do this, King, you know, and
yeah,
and trying to and trying to fix it out and all of that. And so yeah, it's a we have everything sort of planned in terms of the plot. We have the plot completely completely written or storyboarded to a certain degree, right, for the end of season one and the beginning of season two.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. We know what's gonna happen. And we had the idea of even knowing what's going to happen towards the end of season two.
Yep. And so, yeah, it's, we have all of that kind of written out and all and everything, but yeah, it's just it's a whole deal. We'll see where it takes us.
Yeah.
See what happens.
I can't wait.
Yes.
Well, I guess we're coming up on the end of our time here too. So thank you guys so much for coming on to Arcana Archives and telling us about the archetypes. It's just a fantastic series. Please, if you're listening, check it out. It's amazing. Links in our description.
We'll throw the link in the description of the episode. But yeah, you can also find them on Prognotes. What are some of the links for those, guys?
Yeah, the easiest place to find us is for the podcast. The Prognotes podcast is anchor.fm/prognotes, and that's P-R-O-G, not Prague as in the city. P-R-O-G, Prognotes. And so anchor.fm/prognotes is the easiest place to find our podcast there. But yeah, anyway, thank you guys for having us on here.
Thanks for having us. This was really fun.
Pleasure.
Really, really fun. This.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a great time. Well, that's another one for the archives. Thank you for listening to the Arcana Archives, an exploration into nerddom.
If you have any questions or suggestions for future topics or guests, please reach out to us at arcanacollective.archives@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Facebook or Instagram with the username @arcanaarchives.
Hope to see you again.